Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Wayne, Michigan. He started an IT services company in 1984 with $10,000 from his Visa card. Over 22 years, he grew Superior Consultant Company to a $170 million healthcare consultancy consisting of 1,400 employees. In 2009, his family foundation became the lead donor of Champions of Wayne, an educational program involving adult mentoring for his alma mater, Wayne Memorial High School. His name, Rich Helpe. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Rich Helpe, who founded a fantastic IT services company, and we've known each other for 40-plus years. Welcome, a real honor to have you.
Jack, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, I was very fortunate to have a couple of great parents. My mom and dad just celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary last week. They are living now out of state, but they have proudly raised 7 children, 29 grandchildren, and I think the count's about 17 great-grandchildren. Most of us right in the city of Wayne, all 7 of us graduated from Wayne Memorial High School between 1967 and 1977.
Rich, what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Well, I think from Dad it's a sense of responsibility. And from Mom, it's do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Both of them, a sense of community, a sense of giving back, a sense of looking out for other people, and a sense of fair play.
When we were kids in school, computers were brand new. And this thought about programming was wide open. How was it you ever got your start in computers?
I was very fortunate in that when I went to Wayne Memorial High School, actually going into the 10th grade, we had an old IBM 1620, Jack, and you're old enough to remember that. So in the 10th grade, learned a little bit on that, a little bit on the teletype. But in my senior year there, the district moved the computer systems over to the high school. That's where the computer room was. Remember how big they were back then. And because Wayne was so oriented toward teaching us vocational skills, someone came up with the idea to teach us how to program the computers, and that's where I got my start, was right there in high school.
Let's jump to 1984. You and Leslie have 2 children under 4. Leslie's pregnant with Veronica. And you come home to announce, honey, I'm quitting my job. I want to start my own business. We can take this Visa card. We can pull $10,000. You were quite a salesman to convince her of that. Why did you do that?
I saw that there was a need in the market that wasn't being fulfilled. I had built, as you know, lots of computer systems over 10 years and knew what it took to build them in the automotive industry, the insurance industry, a little bit in the medical space. And we were just coming into the age of off-the-shelf application software. And I was familiar enough with what the business requirements were going to be in healthcare, and I saw them changing. That was when the first big wave of healthcare reform was starting, and the healthcare systems were starting to look to buy off-the-shelf software, and I looked inside those companies and said, I don't think they can get the job done, and so I founded Superior Consultant at that time.
You were a real visionary. You were one of the first, if not the first, to focus on healthcare. How was it you said, I'm only going to focus on healthcare?
Part of my experience in the first 10 years of my career, from 1974 to 1984, I noticed that those of us in the IT field were rewarded based on what technology we knew. And I watched that begin to morph into what industry did we know. We were beginning to be understood as somebody that could make an impact on the business. And so I actually thought about which industry I wanted to be in, and I chose healthcare. And I chose healthcare, frankly, because I like the mission. I think it's a good thing when you're taking care of sick and injured people. And now I think appropriately starting to focus on let's keep everybody well and let's keep folks healthy. And it's a very data-driven type of an industry.
In 1996, you took Superior Consultant public. So you went on road shows to Chicago, San Francisco, New York. What are those like?
The road shows are a grind. They are one city. You fly in. You do a series of meetings. You jump on an airplane. You go to another city. You go to Europe. You go to the East Coast, the West Coast, north to south, and you meet with investors of all types who ask you every question that you could ever imagine and then some.
It's 1998. Superior's revenue was $170 million. You've got 1,400 people. And in early 99, one day the stock price is $52. And soon thereafter, it closes at a dollar. How did you get through that?
Well, the stock market always overreacts. I don't know that the stock was ever worth 52, and certainly knew it was a heck of a bargain at a buck, and so we started buying that back. My business philosophy is very, very simple. I ask myself three questions. Are we in the right business? Do we have the right people? Are we doing the right things? And there's always going to be ups and downs. So broadly, I looked at it and said, you know, are we in the right business? And frankly, the answer to some of those questions, because of the market changes, not anything we had done, was, well, no. But there were other opportunities. So we said, all right, we're going to change. We're going to start focusing on outsourcing. You know, do we have the right people? We had many of the right people. But we, frankly, we were great growth managers. And we had nobody in the building that had ever done any kind of turnaround. So we added a couple executives. And then are we doing the right things? Refocus the company and march forward.
You mentioned that in business, there's always ups and downs. What's the keys, Rich, to leading a company, a team of people, through these crises?
It's showing a vision of what's over not only the next horizon, but the next two or three horizons. It's understanding that what we do today is leading to a greater outcome in the future. Making sure that we're very focused on what our customers are going to need, trying to have that ready for them just before they realize they need it, and then to very much support your people. You cannot over-communicate. As the great Jack Welch has been known to say, as a CEO, just when you're getting tired of saying something, people are just beginning to hear it.
We're talking to Rich Helpe, who after 21-year fabulous chapter in his life, sold Superior Consultants in 2005. When we come back, we'll talk to him about other chapters in his glorious life. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with a friend of mine for 40-plus years, Rich Helpe. Rich, 2005, you sell the business to Dallas-based Affiliated Computer Services for a lot of zeros. Why did you sell it?
Oh, it was time. It was the right time for the company. It was the right time for me. As you said it earlier, my wife Leslie and I have enjoyed 35 years of marriage. We had a plan to be in that business for 20 to 25 years. It had been 21, so we were right there. Also, because of the dislocations in the stock market, the climate for a small and microcap stocks just wasn't good, and the company was on a solid footing. Gone out and sold about $500 million worth of outsourcing contracts, and it was time to move the company to a larger platform. So for our customers, for our employees, and for us personally, everything aligned. It was the right time.
You're the American dream. One of seven kids. You start very humble beginnings in Wayne, Michigan, and You build this unbelievable company, and suddenly you're wealthy. Most would say what you do then is retire, have fun, travel, play golf, enjoy, reap the fruits. Not you. Why not?
Well, to be fair, I did attempt retirement and flunked miserably. And as you know, I have a calling in life. And, you know, when you get that kind of good fortune, sometimes you step back and say, gosh, you know, I should, you know, go to Guatemala and work with the less fortunate there. And I didn't feel called that way. So my wife and I actually sat down and used the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and the workbook. And over that period of a little more than 40 days, supposed to do it in 40 days, we were a little slower than that, kind of sorted out where we wanted to go next in life and really kind of centered in on that we like growing things and we like growing good fruits and doing something that contributes to the social good. And that's really what defined the next chapter in our life.
You and I are both quintessential entrepreneurs. It's in our blood. It's how we're wired. And to us, success is the journey, not the destination.
Oh, absolutely. It's a sense of being part of something greater than yourself. It's the reward of leadership. It's the creativity part of it. You know, I always like to make this analogy. If either of us were a great guitar player and we had made millions of dollars playing the guitar, nobody would look at us and say, why are you still playing the guitar? You've already made millions of dollars. So I play the guitar because that's what I do. You know, I build businesses because that's what I do.
Your second child, Amanda, cerebral palsy. And for almost 20 years, Children's Hospital played a key role in that. What has Amanda taught you and Leslie?
Amanda is one of the most beautiful, intelligent, articulate people with a very strong faith, a very, very good heart, and someone who never, ever, ever let her physical disability slow her down. What God maybe didn't give her so much in certain skills, more than made up for it in her articulation, her cleverness, her beauty. So we were able to, what we've learned from her and from all of our kids is that there's a richness in life if your spirit and your heart are aligned and you have goals.
You and Leslie have a terrific heart and part of your heart for Children's Hospital of Michigan. And 1999, you donated $5 million for the Institute for Urban Pediatric Health Research. A great common friend we have is Dr. Herman Gray. Talk to us about Herman Gray.
Herman Gray is one of the true leaders in healthcare. He, as you know, is a pediatrician. He's a family advocate. He's worked both on the payer side of the house and as well as leading the Children's Hospital of Michigan. Herman's guidance for Children's through some very rough patches, I think, has been something that all of us should admire. He runs a very, very good ship down there, as did several of his predecessors.
He's been there since 76. Met his wife there, and a phenomenal job. We've both spent a lot of time at Children's. And whenever you walk through the doors, Rich, you can just feel the love of the doctors, the nurses, the administration, etc. It's a calling for those people. Why?
Well, I think you said the operative word, and that is it's a calling. You see so much that could be despair. And then you see so much that is hope. And oftentimes it's not happy medicine, that there's not great outcomes, that you're going up against extreme odds. And at other times you see such a tremendous turnaround that gives you hope. And that hope is, I think, embodied in it's the combination of the grace of God and the miracle of modern medicine being focused.
Also joining us tonight is another great person. This person is a legend at Wayne Memorial High School, Bill Gray. Psychologist, counselor, you've spent 40-plus years at that high school. And in 2008, Bill, you start something called the Champions Program. Tell us about that.
The Champions Program was an attempt to assist the students at Wayne Memorial High School academically, emotionally, socially. We started off with just myself actually identifying approximately 40 students, gave them a contract, set an academic goal, and tried to give them as much support as possible. As the program continued on, we included a mentor in that program. We have 130 adults in the building. Each adult has taken on at least one mentor. Currently, the program's at about 620 students.
2009, you go to this alumnus, Rich Helpe. You ask him to get involved. How did you convince him?
Rich Helpe is a no-nonsense, compassionate, insightful human being that it's unpredictable and hard to measure what kind of impact he can have once he makes his mind up. He kind of took this Champions program as his own. We have banquets at the end of each semester. When Rich, Mr. Helpe, when he shows up at the banquet, the students sense who he is, what he stands for. The content of his message has a significant impact on the students. Rich Helpe offers, what he ended up doing was, initially we suggested that we would, if a student reached their academic goal, for example, if a student had a 2.0 and had an academic goal of a 3.0, the thought was that we could offer them scholarship money. Rich Helpe, being a product of the community of Wayne, understanding the culture, what motivates a student, he wanted to give the money directly to the student. That seemed to have made all the difference. So currently what we have now is about a third of the students make their goal, another third with their in 10%, and the other third want to be in the program the following semester.
Rich, why did you guys get involved?
Well, because we were asked is the big reason. And I received a letter from Bill and described the program. And I really liked it because it was the real world. It was goal-oriented. It said you had a goal. And as Bill said, oftentimes the goal is academic improvement. Sometimes it's a little more basic, like don't get suspended. That's a goal. A few of the kids are fairly high achievers, but many of them are at risk. And then there are others that aren't quite living up to their full potential. And the beauty of Champions is that you pair a young student with an adult mentor, with a goal, with an incentive. And as Bill said, I know the culture there, and when somebody is going to start studying for maybe the first time in earnest, start attending class on a regular basis, and their friends are asking them why the heck they're doing that, and the answer is, well, if I do, I think I can get $200, it's a pretty compelling argument. Takes away that peer pressure the other way. And we've got some tremendous success stories, some tremendous turnaround stories. And I thought the potential was there. And I thought it was something that potentially could grow. And I just wanted to help out a little bit.
If you want to learn more, www.championsofwayne.org. www.championsofwayne.org. We're with Rich Helpe, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Rich Helfy. Rich, we also have been very involved together with Cornerstone Schools for a long time. An adult mentor. Cornerstone has it, Crystal Ray, University Prep, Beyond Basics, on and on and on. Why is this adult mentor concept so important, and why is it so successful?
It's important because Wayne's frankly seen better days. It was a thriving community, very auto-dependent, very blue-collar dependent. I always like to say that my public education was paid for by a couple of Ford plants in town. And, you know, as you know, that world's changed a lot. And so important because the future that these kids are going into is one where they can't follow the path that you and I followed. Where we were able to learn how to work with computers and the advent of the general purpose computer. Frankly, you couldn't go to school to learn it. We were able to get into jobs that allowed us to become expert in our field. The economy they're entering, we're talking nanotech, biotech, genetics. These aren't things you're going to learn on the job. You're going to need a very solid grounding in chemistry, in math, in science, in statistics. You're going to need to go to college. You're going to need to get advanced degrees. Now, we certainly have to have the humanities as well, the richness in life. And certainly, you know, we need good people that know how to fix air conditioners and do other vocational things. So the Champions of Wayne is about graduating a young man or a young woman the best way that their talents will allow them to exit high school. And that's why I believe it's so important.
Rich, many listeners would say it's wrong to pay a kid $200 to study and perform. That's crazy. What do you say?
Well, I guess there's the joke about, you know, we were good for nothing, right? And they should be good for nothing, too. But we weren't that good, all right? And it's interesting that the financial incentive is a way, I think, that focuses the kids. Sometimes I think it brings the kids in. And many of them will talk at the end of the semester, and they'll tell about their experiences at Champions of Wayne. And generally it goes like this. I first got into this for the money. And then I found out that my mentor, Mr. Gray, really cared about me. And then I found out I could achieve. One young man came up to me at one of the banquets, and he looks at me and says, Mr. Helfy, I want to tell you, because I was going to drop out. Said my grade point was sub 1.0. Said, but I got into Champions, and I got in it because I thought it'd be a way to maybe make some money. But then I found out I could study. Said, I want to let you know, I got a 3.3 last semester, and I'm on my way to college. So I think that's $200 very well spent.
This coming Saturday, 6:30 p.m., the Midwest movie premiere of The Infiltrators at the State Wayne Phoenix Theater. Biggest thing they've seen there in 50 years. On Michigan Avenue in Wayne. 6:30 p.m., red carpet. Two former alumnus, Greg Jabara, Tony Award winner, is the star. And Sally Helpy, your sister, is the producer. Tell us about this red carpet event.
Well, this is a fundraiser for the Champions of Wayne, and all of the proceeds from the evening will go to the Champions. The theater is being donated. Other members of the community are working very hard on the program. Greg Jabara is coming back to town. Greg is also a star on the HBO series Blue Bloods, well-known actor. My sister Sally, who is a very accomplished attorney in the Dallas area, has begun making movies. This is her fourth picture. They've done pretty well with distribution. And the way this came about, one of my other sisters said, hey, you should premiere that at the State Wayne. And one of their friends, through a social media site, said, gosh, you ought to make it a fundraiser for the Champions of Wayne. And that's how this took off.
If you want tickets, www.championswithanSofWayne.org.
That's correct, Jack. Or at the State Wayne box office, $20 in advance, $25 at the door. They're going fast.
In a brand new outfit.
There you go.
In June of 2007, Rich, you gave the commencement address at Wayne Memorial High School. And you started out by thanking people, et cetera, et cetera. And then you said, hey, before anybody falls asleep, let me tell you what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you three things. The three elements of success are work hard, look it up yourself, and take care of people. For the ones that didn't fall asleep, what did you then go on to tell them?
I went on to tell them exactly those three things, but I told them a little bit why. And so take the first one, work hard. You and I have both been associated with many successful people. And I challenge you to find a person that was successful that wasn't a hard worker. You look at recently deceased Elmore Leonard, terrific career as a novelist, screenwriter. Elmore Leonard was a very hard worker. He put in long days and long hours. Look at anybody that has ascended to leadership, some of our local firms, hard workers. There's no substitute for it. I always like to tell the young folks that the formula for your chance of success goes like this. It's your talent multiplied by your effort plus luck. That equals your chance of success. So if you take the effort out of there, take the hard work, you're trying to multiply by zero and you're relying entirely on luck. And you can't get there from here. It's not a very good formula. The other thing I talked to them about was look it up yourself. We are living in an age where people are bombarded with information and misinformation. And it's very easy to get to original documents now, original legislation, and actually read it versus to read the spin that's being put on. And then, of course, take care of people. And I know one of the things I told them that when you take care of people, start with yourself. And I know one of the messages I said that one of them, the young people in the audience, said in 33 years, one of you is going to be the distinguished alum. Don't know which one it is. But I will tell you, it won't be the person that didn't take care of themselves, that didn't look out after other people as well. It won't be the person that was the most prolific drinker or the heaviest smoker. It'll be someone that took care of themselves and took care of other people.
In 2007, Rich Helpe founded Vineyard Capital Group, and in 2008, he founded Santa Rosa Consulting, Inc. When we come back, we'll ask him about those ventures. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Rich Helpe, the founder and CEO of Superior Consultant Company from 84 to 2005. 2007, Rich, you found Vineyard Capital Group. Tell us about that.
Well, Vineyard Capital Group was an outgrowth of our life mission and the intersection of our business interest. And Vineyard is about growing things. It's about producing good fruit, and the medium is through the growing of companies. And what we do is we provide advice to growing companies, we provide some hands-on operational support, and we provide capital. Our sweet spot is to find a company that has its first set of customers, or perhaps their first customer, and to show them how to develop that into a company that can have thousands of customers. We guide them through that process. Let me give you one example. In 2007, we acquired the assets of a company called Job App Network. This was a software as a service company. It had about 8 locations when we bought it, a very small set of things that it did. And 5 years later, when we sold the company, we had nearly 8,000 locations. The places that we invest in are typically software as a service, or commonly known as cloud-based services, retail technologies to connect the consumer with the retail world, and of course, healthcare information technology.
If you want to learn more, www.vineyardcapitalgroup.com. tap.com. A year later, 2008, you found Santa Rosa Consulting, Inc. Tell us about that.
Santa Rosa is a healthcare information technology company that is a combination of consulting services and solutions. We have about 400 professionals deployed. We have grown to become the 413th fastest growing company in America, according to Inc. magazine. We have become one of the top 100 employers in healthcare, and we get very good quality ratings. We are working very hard today on a number of fronts, including the security of medical records and also the interoperability of medical records, so that if a person is treated by multiple physicians, there's an easy way for us to feed information from one doctor's system to the other and then on to the hospitals.
If you look up HELPI, H-E-L-P-P-I-E, Charitable Foundation, within the first couple paragraphs, you state, remember, philanthropy is really an attitude. That attitude that tells you to find those people who need help and provide it in any way you can. You and Leslie have really been giving to this community and other communities. Who taught you that, Rich?
Clearly, the example my parents set was there. My dad was a truant officer for the Wayne schools, a job he held until I was in second grade or so. And I remember him coming home and going through the closet and saying he knew there was a coat that wasn't being used, and he had found a family that needed a coat. And it was giving in that regard. I remember my mom serving on volunteer committees, clothing drives, and those kinds of things. You know, clearly that was where those lessons were learned.
If there's a listener that says, I know I should be giving back, I've really been blessed, but I'll do that later. I don't have the time, I don't have the money to help now. What do you say?
Well, I'd go back to what the quote said. Philanthropy is really an attitude, and it's time, talent, and treasures. It's a generous heart, a generous spirit. And, you know, I've found that we throw it out there, and we try to go to good causes, and it keeps coming back. And we try to be wise in the types of things that we contribute to. Our heart is for medically and educationally underserved kids. We do support the arts somewhat, but really it's about medically and educationally served kids. And that's, you know, it's trite to say, but that is our future. And the quality of our country, the quality of our society is going to depend on how well we treat those forming adults. And I think everybody's got the capacity to give a little something. But, you know, Jack, I will tell you, philanthropy is harder than business. It's harder than entrepreneurialism. I remember many, many years ago that the Variety, the children's charity, was trying to raise money for myoelectric arms. So kids that were born without a limb or perhaps lost the limb. And I remember going to a fellow who had done rather well. His kids and his unborn grandkids are set up in trusts. And I remember saying, look, for $5,000, you can give this little girl an arm. And he couldn't do it. And I couldn't understand that way of thinking.
This coming Saturday, 6:30 p.m., the Midwest movie premiere of The Infiltrators in Wayne at the State Wayne Phoenix Theater. You're a kid, 1 of 7. You grew up with nothing. You didn't have great grades. You didn't go to college. You start a business. You sell it for $120 million. You give back, Leslie, and you have been blessed. When you put your head on the pillow next Saturday night, what are you going to think?
Well, what I'm going to hope for is that we've made a lot of friends for the Champions of Wayne, because the Champions of Wayne is turning around the culture in the school, and I think it's providing a basis for a community to rebound. In my humble view, I think people go to cities for one of three things. It's either entertainment, employment, or education. And if we're successful with the Champions of Wayne in what it can become and to serve all the kids that need that, it's going to improve the education. And perhaps a family might look at that and say, you know, I'm going to move to the city of Wayne so that I can get that good education for my child.
If you want to learn more, www.championswithanS.com/Wayne. You introduced me to Jeff Daniels a few years ago, who came on the show with the guitar. He was fabulous.
I'm not going to sing here today, Jack.
You and Leslie have been very involved with Purple Rose Theater. And Jeff talked at length about taking risk, following your dreams. Talk to us about that.
I think that, you know, the future is always going to be uncertain. And I think everybody needs to have an understanding of themselves, what makes them tick. You know, pick a role model, try to be like that role model, see if that fits you, then as you try to discover who you are. You know, my dad was a guy that was home, you know, most days at 4:30, worked for the schools most of the time, was always there in the summer, you know, always there to throw a ball with and such. And, you know, I tried living that life of a, you know, regular houred person and found out just wasn't me. And I felt like the company that I wanted to work for didn't exist. And that's really what started me building Superior, along, of course, with that customer need.
As our time winds down, what advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Seek your passion. Ask yourself, what am I good at? You may not be the best artist. You might not be the best athlete, but you're going to be good at something. Find out what it is. Don't worry about what the other guy has. Don't compare yourself to other people. Be true to yourself. Live a life that satisfies you. And, of course, you know I'm going to tell you to work hard. Okay, look it up yourself and take good care of people.
And, man, you live that every day, and you have for 40-plus years. What a great, great role model. Please keep up the great work.
You're too kind, Jack. Thank you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Vasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohn.